Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Come back, preacher. Exodus chapter number 33 and verse number 18. I'm sure all of us are familiar with this text, and so I won't labor to read the three chapters I want to preach out of tonight, so I'll just read just a few verses, okay? It said, and I said, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. It shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Verse 1 of chapter 34 said, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first. Now I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai. Present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. I'll stop reading there just for sake of time. And I want to preach tonight on these texts, and I want to preach tonight on this thought. It's time to go back. I want to preach on that, and I hope you'll have that in mind as I preach. Let's pray real fast. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. And God, I know we've already prayed, but I just want to ask you one more time, God, you'd give us liberty. I pray that you'd empty me of myself and cleanse me of sin. God, I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. God, I don't want to do this alone, and I need your help. Lord, I pray that you'd touch us tonight. Your precious and holy name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. When we come to Exodus chapter number 33, I believe you'll find Moses in a valley. I believe that this text and this chapter, if you'll study it out, it's one of the lowest points of the life of Moses. Now, I've heard people say that if you'll get in the will of God and you'll live right, then everything will work out. You won't have any problems. And that's all fine and well, except that's a lie. Amen. That ain't the truth, man. You know as well as I do, man. You get in saved, you get in church, you live right. Job 14:1 said, man was born of a woman's of a few days and full of trouble. And I've seen people get saved, and then I've seen them get discouraged. They'll say, preacher, I got saved, started doing right, started living what I believe the will of God is for my life, and it feels like all hell's done broke loose in my life. And they get upset and they get discouraged. You know what I want to tell them? Hey, you know what? I think it's all right. I actually think you got saved. I think you're in the will of God. Because you know what? The devil is going to do everything in his power to fight against those that are doing right. And you know what? I believe, you know what? The devil didn't really fight me before I got saved. You know why? Because he already had me. But son, after I got saved, he started fighting. Man, before I got saved, he tried to tell me I was saved. After I got saved, he tried to tell me I wasn't saved. That makes good sense, don't it? That's just who the devil is. I feel like a lot of times when somebody gets saved and they come down to the altar and they get saved, I just want to grab them by the hand. I want to say, congratulations, welcome to the army, son. Because you know what? We're in all that warfare as a child of God. Every day of our life is going to be a battle. But I'm glad tonight that God, even in the valley, God is still good, amen? He's still good. But now in Exodus chapter number 33, we come and we find Moses is at the bottom. He is. He's reached the end of the line, if you just want to put it like that. He's in what I believe one of the darkest places of his life. And I thought today, why was he there? Why was he in that dark place? Why was he in that hard place that he's in? I believe for a couple things by way of introduction. I believe it could have been because of the difficulty of the journey. You got to think about where they are. They're living in the wilderness now. They're no longer in Egypt. They ain't in Canaan. They're in the wilderness. It's a hard place. They're crawling through the sand, and they're dealing with the heat of the sun. And the wilderness, no doubt, was weighing on his mind. Sure, they had been redeemed by the blood, and sure, they'd been brought out by the hand of God, but that didn't take the wilderness away. And you can be saved as saved can be. That doesn't mean you ain't going to go through the wilderness. And you know what? I believe it might have been the difficulty of the journey. Could have been maybe this, the discontentment of the Israelites. Son, that could have wore heavy on his mind. If there's anything about the Israelites you need to know is I believe they was independent, fundamental, judgmental, temperamental Baptists. Because if they knew how to do one thing, they knew how to complain. Now, I know nobody at Amazing Grace Baptist Church knows how to complain. That was a joke. Y'all ever heard of sarcasm? That was sarcasm right there. There's your lesson 101. And that you, see, everything comes in here. Y'all be thankful that it doesn't come out here, okay? Because I had about 5 jokes run through my head, and I'm letting them go by. Here's the deal. Everybody, every once in a while, complains. Every church has those in their church that they complain. You ever see your preacher come in on a Sunday morning, and he just comes straight to the platform? Anybody ever seen a preacher do that? You know why? Because he didn't really want to know how he was doing that morning. You know why? Because he had a burden to preach, and he didn't need all that weighing in his mind. And you know what? Moses, over and over and over and over again, heard the murmuring of the Israelites. Now, everywhere Moses led them, they griped about it. Oh, yeah. Now you say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when he threw them tables down. He went to Sinai one time. Actually, I'll get there in a second. But he came back down with them tables, those tablets, the Ten Commandments. They saw what he threw them down. And I've heard people say, well, Brother Moses shouldn't have done that. Well, you're probably right. But if you would have had to put up with them stinking, stubborn Israelites, you wouldn't have thrown them on the ground. You'd have broke them over the top of their head. That's exactly what you had done. You know what? It'd be wise of all of us to learn from Moses right here to keep your eyes on God. Just keep your eyes on Christ, because everybody around you ain't always going to be good. Everybody around you ain't always going to be faithful. And everybody around you in this world ain't always going to be true. But if you'll just keep your eyes on him, he's always good. He's always faithful. He's always true. And you know what? Everything can be going crazy around you in this world. And if you'll just keep your eyes on him, son, it'll be all right. Yeah, man. Hallelujah. I was real nervous about 5 minutes ago, but I'm feeling pretty good now. Here's the deal. He got his eyes on everybody around him, and it hindered him. In weakness and anger, he threw those tables down. But maybe more, in my opinion, maybe more than the difficulty of the journey, maybe more than the discontentment of the Israelites, and what I believe what had him in such a bad place was his disgust with himself. I believe he was, the disgust of his flesh had him in this dark place. You see, Moses, you got to understand context. I really like to preach about 6 chapters of the book of Exodus tonight. I'm not going to do it. It's okay. Breathe. Do you know what? Moses had just spent 40 days and 40 nights on top of Mount Sinai in the very presence of God, Jehovah God. He had just been in his presence. And then he comes down and he breaks those tables. Now, you might as well just admit it like I did today. If anybody ought to be able to handle that situation, it ought to be that person that had just spent 40 days and 40 nights in the very presence of God. But in weakness, he threw them tables down. In anger, he broke those tablets on the ground. Why? Why did he do it? You know why? Because he was flesh just like you and I. I'm going to tell you this evening, I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you walk in the Spirit. I don't care how much anointing the Holy Ghost of God you got on you. At our best, we are still nothing but dirty, old, rotten, filthy flesh. And the arm of flesh will fail you. Moses has a reality check right here. Maybe Moses ain't as spiritual as he thinks he is. Amen. You know what? I think a lot of the average church member needs to be reminded of that tonight. We really aren't as spiritual as we think we are. Son, there have been times I was looking forward to this weekend. You know what? We'll get to have that weekend sometime. But you know what? I love meetings like that. There have been some times I've left a great meeting. I've left meetings that just, man, like camp. Oh, yeah. I'd leave camp and my soul would just be on fire. I felt like I was as close to God as I've ever been before. And before I even parked my truck in the driveway, I done messed up again. I had been with the presence of God, and before I ever got back to where I was, I had done messed up again. You've probably been in the same place, if you'd be honest. Leave a church service, leave a meeting, leave something where you just had just been so, felt like you're so close to the Lord, and before you even made it home, you done horn cussed somebody. Y'all know what that is, don't you? You done horn cussed somebody down 89. Yeah, amen. Yeah, we ain't as spiritual as we think we are. Amen. Know me. I'm having fun. Y'all all right? This is my favorite thing to do in the world. Ain't God good? You know what? But we come to our text, and here we find Moses in a hard place. He come to Moses, and he's in a trial. He's in a valley. No doubt he's sick of the journey. No doubt he's sick of the Israelites, and I know that he's sick of himself. In our text, what I read in verse number 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He's in a hard place. He's in a terrible time in his mind and his life because of what's happened around him. And you know what? The only thing was that could help Moses in this story, it was getting in the presence of the glory of God. Amen. And Moses knew that the only thing that could help him was the glory of God. So in the middle of his trial, in the middle of that storm, he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Amen. I don't know what you toted in tonight. I don't know what you're carrying. I don't know what battle you're a fighting in your life, but I do know this. At one glimpse, one fresh touch, one fresh encounter, the glory of God, son, it'll get you right. It'll help you to keep on going when the going gets tough. Hallelujah. The glory of God's what will push you through. Amen. All the trials, all the troubles of your life, all the heartaches of your life, you know what? All your needs in your life are superseded by the need in your life to be, have an encounter with the glory of God. That need you got coming up, I know a greater need in your life is to have an encounter with His glory. That problem you got financially at your home, I got a need greater than that. It's your need to get in His glory. Oh, my goodness. I know a need greater for you than what you think you got. It's to get in His presence. It's to get in His glory. Son, Moses had just come down from Sinai, walked into them Jews, worshiping that calf, singing and dancing, naked. I mean, he walked into a mess. And he throws them tablets down. He throws them tables down in anger and in weakness. Do you know that? I'm getting to the message, I promise. I didn't think I was going to preach for about 15 minutes, but... I don't think that's going to be it tonight. Here's the deal. Do you know that? I'm not going to preach an hour and 15 minutes. Do you know that Moses climbed Mount Sinai 7 times? I was studying this today, and I found this out in the stand. He climbed Sinai 7 times, if you read the book of Exodus, I believe. Some people believe 8, but I believe it's 7 because there's a couple verses that people don't know how to read. Here's the deal. Sorry. And I could be wrong, too, but I don't know how they think it's 8 according to the verses I read. 7 times. Do you know that the 6th time that he climbed up Sinai and he came back down, that's when he found them worshiping the calf. And he threw them tablets down in anger and weakness. You know what the number 6 represents in our Bible? The number 6 represents man and his weaknesses. So I'm telling you, I've just enjoyed studying today. And in the 6th time that he comes down from that mountain, in his weakness, he threw down them tables, broke them stones. That's amazing to me. But on the 7th time, guess what? He went back up. He went back up. And on the 7th time he came down, guess what? He came down on that. Y'all know what number 7 is? It's God's perfect number. And on the 7th time he came down from Sinai, you know what he came down with? He came down with God's perfect law. I love stuff like that. That might not do anything for you, but that lights my fire, man. I love stuff like that. You know why I love stuff like that? Because it just reiterates that God wrote this Bible. Oh, I love it. So he comes down with the law, but he had to go back up to get it. He had to go back. I want to preach tonight on that thought. It's time to go back. It's time to go back. You say, preacher, what? Time to go back and do what? Time to go back and get in His presence. It's time to go get in His presence. That's what's going to help you. That's the only thing that's going to get you through. Verse number 18, he said, I beseech thee, You know what that word beseech means? It means to employ. It means to plead with. It means to beg. He said, I beseech thee. Moses is begging. He's pleading. He's employing with God. Oh, God, show me your glory. That's what he's doing. Moses didn't ask for anything else. Moses could have asked for him just to give him those stones again. Moses could have took, Moses could have taken that broken piece back to him and said, God, would you put it back together? He could have asked for money. He could have asked for anything in the world. But the only thing that he knew to ask him was for God to show him his glory again. Oh, man. You know why he asked that above everything else? It's because he knew nothing else could help him like the presence of God. Nothing else could help Moses like the presence of God. That is the mindset that our churches need. God, show us your glory. God, show up. Show us your glory. Manifest your presence, God. That's the prayer our churches need to have. Moses, when he got that begging, when he got that pleading, when he got that imploring, he said, I beseech thee. You know what God said in verse number 21? Look at verse number 21. The Lord said, behold, oh my. You know what? Moses went to a begging. Moses went to a pleading with God. And when Moses said, I beseech, God said, behold. You know what behold means? It means to stand at attention. If your preacher was here tonight, you know what he would say that word meant? He'd say it means looky, looky. It means, hey, son. Y'all probably heard him say that before. He said, hey, son, you better look out because something big's about to happen. But it wasn't until Moses went a-looking for it. You know why nothing ever happens in the most average churches of our day? They ain't looking for it. You know why you ain't feeling the presence of God in your life? Because you ain't looking for it. Oh, man. You know why your dead religion is just bringing you back to church and you don't feel anything and you don't do anything? You just sit there like a knot on the log because you ain't a beseeching God for it. But, son, you get real with God. You start begging God. You start pleading with God. Son, he'll say, behold. He'll say, stand at attention. Looky, looky, friend. He'll show up and give you something. Well, that wasn't on the notes, but that's pretty good right there. Hallelujah. You know what I want to do for the rest of my life? I want to beseech. I want to beg. I want to plead because I know that the only thing that's going to carry me through is the presence of God. That's it, son. Don't look for anything this world's got to offer because it don't last. The only thing that's going to last is what God has. Oh, yes, you better beseech. You better beg. You better plead for him to show you his glory. Well, hallelujah. So, here Moses is. He said, Moses, you want to see me? Look out. Here I come. Well, any of y'all's kids like to play hide and seek? 10. Ready or not, here I come. Man, I was reading that today. That's what I had in my mind. We'll be playing hide and seek at the house. And whether they know it or not, they want me to come find them. So I say, ready or not, here I come. All right. That's what God said. Not really. That's just what I heard when I read it. All right. Let me show you some things in our text. I want to see, first of all, that there is a place. He said in verse number 21, behold, there is a place where? By me. Oh, my. God said, you got a need? I got a solution. You got a prayer? I got an answer. You got a need in your life? I'm the only one that can help it. And there is a place. This world ain't got a place. Your family don't have a place. Dead religion ain't got a place. But God said, I got a place, and it's right beside me. If you're going to get the help you need in your time of need, you need to go back to the place where God manifested his presence in your life. There ain't no place like the place where God showed up for me. The Bible said that Abraham went into the place where his altar was at the first in Genesis 13. Jacob woke up one night and said, surely the Lord is in this place. Solomon heard from God, and God said, my eyes will be on this place, and my ears will be on this place. The Bible said when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary. The Bible said when they came to the place of the sepulcher. The Bible said that when they prayed, the place was shaken. When the Bible said when they prayed, that when he that dwelleth in secret place. Son, it's all through the Bible. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. Abraham found that place at an altar. Jacob found that place at a well. The three Hebrew boys found that place in a fiery furnace. Old Daniel found that place in the den of lions. John the Beloved found that place on the bosom of Jesus Christ. Mary found that place at the feet of Jesus. I found that place at an old-fashioned altar. And guess what? Tonight God has got a place for you where you can get in the presence of His glory. Hallelujah. Son, hallelujah. He's got a place for you. He's got a place for you. And in that place, God will make Himself so real to you. And God will do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. Oh, thank God. He's got a place beside Him. Oh, my goodness. I sure am glad there's a place that I can go to. Aren't you glad that when trials come and troubles come and the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls, that there is a place beside God, in God, with God, under God. Hallelujah. There's a place where He can help you. Son, there's a place. You ever been to that place? Son, I have. I've been there. You say, where was it? It ain't been one spot. It's been a bunch of places. All I know is every time I was in that place, it was beside Him. Y'all all know the story of Zeke. Most of you do. I remember putting my little boy sitting on Madeline's lap to bed on a Wednesday night, March the 3rd. I remember waking up the next morning thinking everything was all right. I went on teaching Zoom classes in the school. I went upstairs to my office, started teaching. I started teaching at 9 o'clock that morning. I didn't come back down until after lunch. I didn't know what was happening downstairs. My phone was dead because I was a dummy. I didn't put it on charge the night before. Look downstairs in the bathroom where I charge it. I remember coming down from teaching those classes. It was about 12. Nobody's in my house. Son, it was like a tornado come through there. I was like, what in the world's going on? A bunch of crazy people. What I didn't know is that Bree, when she went to get Zeke out of the bed, he was unresponsive, laying there with 104-something temperature. Throw up all on his bed, laying there lifeless. Long story short, she took him to the hospital. I couldn't find out what was wrong with him. I think the last couple of days, that's just been on my mind with John. And I remember going down to the hospital. They wouldn't let me in Elkin because COVID was going on. And thankfully, they took him to Brenner's. And we got down to Brenner's that Thursday evening about 5, 6 o'clock. They wanted to send us home because it almost perked up that Thursday afternoon. He quit throwing up. And a mom and daddy usually know best. That's why, thankfully, doctors usually listen to them. They said, this ain't right. They diagnosed him finally Friday night with bacterial meningitis. I remember in that room, it was normal. Doctors just coming in and out. And then that Friday night, when they come back in after that spinal tap, they come back in and like, well, look, hazmat suit. That's scary. And they told us he had bacterial meningitis. Well, our hearts just broke. I remember Saturday, it's COVID. Nobody could come in except for me and Mama. That one. Saturday, my grandparents, Simpsons, come up to my dad's house. He was on FaceTime with them. My grandpa, he's a man of few words, really. Usually what he says, they hit you one way or the other. Y'all know people like that? He don't pull his punches, what I say. He said, son, we either believe God or we don't. That's what he told me. First, when I heard it, I was like, thanks, Papa. That's real encouraging. What I didn't know is that was going to stick with me for the rest of the time. We either believe God or we don't. And I remember that Saturday night that moved us to the PICU. Man, he was just still laying there with no life. I said, preacher, what you talking about? I'm getting there. That Saturday night, I can't explain it to you. I can't tell you how it happened. I can't tell you what was happening. I wasn't praying. I had not been on my knees in a while because we had 18,000 doctors coming in and out of that room. There wasn't no time to pray. That's why I'm thankful for friends. You know what? We was in that room that Saturday night. It was still It was quiet. I remember it like it was yesterday. There was a peace that flooded that hotel, that hospital room, that I've never experienced in my life. You say, what was that? That was the place. Hey, amen. I can go back to that place in the darkest of my life, and you know what I can find? I can find His presence. You say, what carried you through? The glory of God's what carried me through. The presence of God's what'll carry you through. There's a place. There's a place that He's got for you. Todd, you know what you need to find in your life? You need to find that place. You need to find that place where He's going to manifest His presence to you. You say, where is it? I don't know. But He's got a place for you. Are you beseeching Him? Are you begging for it? Are you pleading for that place? Because if you do, guess what? He'll say, looky, looky. He's got a place for you. Not only was there a place that He went back to, there was a person. Look at the text. There's a bunch of personal pronouns in our text. Nine times God said, I will make my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I will be gracious. I will show mercy. My glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff. I will pass by, and I will take my over. And over and over and over again. He said, I remember talking about that, brought memories back. It's COVID. I hate COVID. I mean, somebody, if you can't say amen on anything else, you can say amen right there. Ruined everything, didn't it? Not really. It kind of almost did, but we're all right. We survived. Y'all didn't think we was going to. Y'all bought 1,300 packs of toilet paper. And you didn't even need to. You bought 800 cans of pinto beans. You didn't need to. I know y'all the people that made our grocery stores run dry. My dad was one of them people too. Don't worry. Sorry, Dad. Here's the deal. In their house, they had an extra bedroom. It was stocked. We were going to be okay. We was going to make it at least 6 months. I hope you don't go back and watch this if this is live. Here's the deal. COVID was awful. One of the main reasons it was so terrible is for those people in the hospital and nursing homes and all that stuff. They couldn't get to their loved ones. I remember being in the hospital during that time with Zeke, and they couldn't. It was just me and Bree. That's all it was. Dad might have snuck in there with a clergy card, but that's neither here nor there. Papa might have done that too a time or two. Nurses came to me one day and said, sir, we've known. I don't even know if you even know. Sir, we've noticed that you've had a lot of clergymen come in your room. That's a true story. Said, I hate to tell you, but you can only have one. So, yeah, that really happened. I said, I didn't know. Oh, we'll just keep going. But you know what? It was just me and Bree in there. And you know what? A lot of times, you know what that made me do? It made us feel lonely. Because, of course, you had FaceTime and that stuff. But it's just me and her. No family could come in. Except for those that are clergy. No friends could come in. It was lonely. But guess what? Even when the family couldn't come in, and even when the friends couldn't come in, I'm glad that there was a person. Hey, man. Hallelujah. I'm glad there was a person that was able to be there when we needed him. You know that problem that you've got in your life? I wish I could tell you I could fix it, but I can't fix it. That trial you got, I can't fix it. Your family can't fix it. Your friends can't fix it. This church can't even fix it. But I'm glad I can report to you tonight that there is a person that can meet with you in your time of need. And I'm glad that I probably think that you probably know who it is. It's the one who Joshua met, who's the captain of the Lord's host. It's Ezekiel's will. It's Zechariah's fountain. It's Isaiah's Savior. It's David's shepherd. It's Mary's baby boy. It's Simon Peter's risen Savior. It's the angel of God. It's the rose of Sharon. It's the lily of the valley. It is the bright morning star, friend. It is God Almighty. There is a person that'll meet with you in your time of need. And when nobody else can help you, I'm glad that He can help you. Even when all you got's God, I'm glad to tell you tonight, that's enough. Hallelujah. That's enough. That's all you need. You know what it's time to do? It's time to start trusting that person. It's time to start depending on that person. Oh, man. Well, there was a place. There's a person.
Then there's a pyre. There's a pyre. Yeah, you know, city, there's a power. Sorry, I said that real country. I didn't mean for it to sound that way. There's a pyre. I'm redneck. I'm sorry. I know where I'm at, but you know, I just want to make everyone feel comfortable. There's a power. And Moses asked to see God's glory. Verse number 20, the Lord said, all right, but we got a problem. He said, because thou canst not see my face, okay? For there shall no man see me and live. He asked for his glory, and God said, that's all right, but you can't see me and live, so here's what we'll do. I'll put you in the cliff of the rock, and I'll pass by, and when I pass by, I'll lift up my hand. You can see the back parts of me. Now, you say, preacher, what's that mean? Well, what's the text? What are we talking about? We're talking about glory. We're talking about glory. You say, okay, well, what's glory? Well, the biblical definition of glory, you know what it is? Glory is the awesome light of God's divine presence. That's what glory is. God is light. John 1 said it. Him, there's no darkness at all. He is light. And glory is a radiant burst of divine light. Well, you go home and study light. Study the speed of light. I've heard this all my life. I've heard this preached about this text. You'll find a word called afterglow. Afterglow is a light, as a light ray comes through the sky. Well, you really didn't see the light ray. You know what you saw? You saw the afterglow of it. That's what you see. Because light is so fast, and the speed of light, if there's any nerds in here, you can tell us what it is. But at the speed of light, there I go again, making everybody feel uncomfortable. Here's the deal. The speed of light is so fast, you can't even see it. What you're seeing is afterglow. When the sun shines, you're not seeing the sun rays, you're seeing afterglow. You're seeing you're seeing the backside of the light. And so in this text, when God said, I'll lift my hand up, and you can see the back part, amen, the backside, the hinder part of me. That's what he was saying. You can see the hinder, you can see the afterglow. You say, well, preacher, that really ain't a whole lot. He didn't even get to see any of the glory. He didn't get to see the actual light. He just saw the afterglow. Well, it was enough to light him up, amen. It was enough to turn his situation around. Look at chapter number 34 and verse number 29. It said, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And the end of that verse said, they were afraid to come nigh to him. You know why? Because his light was a shining. Verse number 31 said he had to put a veil over his face. You say, well, just a glimpse of that glory, just a glimpse of that light, doesn't sound like a whole lot? Well, it was enough to change his countenance. It was enough to change his face. It was enough to change everything about him. The last time they saw Moses' face, it was red. John Dorsey, you ever seen him preach? You know how his face turns when he preaches? I'd say that's probably about how Moses' face looked like when he came down and saw that golden calf. And because of his face, the last time they saw Moses' face was that red countenance of anger and that countenance of discouragement. But son, when he came out of the presence of God and when he came down from off that mountain, God had lit him up, friend. He was totally different. You'd be amazed tonight at the power of his glory. It'll change your life. It'll change your countenance. It'll change the way you look. Hey, man. Well, I'm going to. The glory of God, friend, it'll change you. I ain't never been the same since I went to that place and I got close to that person and I felt that power. I ain't never been the same. That's where Moses was. You know, most of our churches, I'm pretty much done. Pretty much. Most of our churches are filled with people who are mad, who are discouraged, and who are just about to quit. That's what our churches are filled with. You say, preacher, what they need? They need what Moses had. Just a glimpse of his glory. You walk around mad all the time, I know what you need. You need a glimpse of his glory. You walk around red-faced all the time, I know what you need. You need a glimpse of his glory. You walk around discouraged all the time, hey, guess what? I know what you need too. You need a glimpse of his glory because it'll change everything. Son, you need to find the place. You need to get back to the person. You need to get a hold of that power because it'll change your life. It's time to go back to the place. It's time to go back. It's time to get back to where you know you're supposed to be. Have you made a mistake like Moses made? We all do. He came down out of anger and weakness. He threw them tables on the ground. Let's be honest. That was a mistake. He let the situation around him cause him to do things that he really shouldn't have done. It was a mistake. You know what he had to do? He had to go to the place. He had to go to the person. He had to get a hold of the power. Are you overwhelmed? That's where Moses was. I'm telling you, this may not help y'all at all. Son, my soul is about to burst. You're overwhelmed in the situation you're living in? I know the answer. You need to find the place. You need to get to the person. And you need to feel the power. I said, preacher, you're kind of being charismatic. No, I'm not. I'm preaching the Bible to you. Feel the power. No, you get to that place. You get a hold of that person. Son, there's power there. I'm talking about power. I'm not talking about them city slickers' power. I'm talking about there's power in that place. It's real. You say, preacher, what you talking? Look at chapter 34 and verse number 10. Look at what it said. When Moses got to the place by him, and Moses got to the person, he started tapping into that power. Look at what God said in verse 10 of chapter 34. He said, behold, I'll make a covenant before all thy people. Look what he said. I will do marvels. Such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. All the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. Guess what? You get to that place, you get a hold of that person, that power, it'll do things you've never seen before. I don't know where you are tonight, and I kind of do. I was going to preach something different tonight. I really was. I was going to preach something different. I'm not going to tell you because I might preach it some other time here. But I wanted something, I asked God to give us something fresh. Because I didn't want to just go through the rut and routine tonight. And your pastor's sick. He really is. He's sick. You know what? He needs somebody to go to the place. He needs somebody to get a hold of the person. He needs the power. That's what he needs. Your family, your trial and your family. You say, preacher, I'm not going, don't lie. Every single one of us in here is going through a trial. Some of us got a truck with 16,000 miles on it in the shop. Every single one of us is going through a trial. But it don't matter whether it's your trial, Haley, or it's my trial. The answer is the same. You've got to go find a place. You've got to get a hold of the person. And then you'll experience the power. Miss Tanya, you come play the piano for us. Let's all stand. Bow our heads.